A very good morning to you all and welcome to Newport on Tay Church of Scotland online service. We have come together so that we can pray for one another and pray for the affairs of the world as we bring our thoughts and our worries and our desires to Almighty God. We also wish to continue to commemorate in a very special way and bring our prayers about the 75th anniversary of victory in Europe, when the sounds of war fell silent on this continent. We come together conscious of our need for God's forgiveness for the sin and the desire to dominate others that leads to conflict between people and war between nations. And as we remember the many soldiers, sailors, and airmen who gave their lives restraining evil and opposing tyranny, so we also come in thanksgiving for the years of peace that the nations of Europe have enjoyed since the Second World War. Let us worship God, and our first hymn, All Creatures of our God and King. Let us pray. Lord God, our Father, we pledge ourselves to serve you and all humankind in the cause of peace, for the relief of want and suffering, and for the praise of your name. Guide us by your Spirit, give us wisdom, give us courage, give us hope, and keep us faithful now and always. At times, dear Father, it can be difficult to look forward in hope, to face the future, to trust that God is working for us. But in this space, God is with us, offering us a glimpse of heaven, a teaser of what is to come. So however difficult, however challenging, however uncomfortable, may we put our trust in God and worship Him. Creator God, maker of all that is seen and unseen, we gather to worship and to adore you. Wherever we be, wherever we are here on earth, the lives that we celebrate, may there be a reflection of your heavenly home. May our doors always be open in welcome. May our love be shared with all people. May our worship be inclusive. And may our praise be honest and true. As we seek to follow in the way of Jesus, may others see you in us as the disciples saw you in Jesus. Merciful God, we are sorry for the times when we fail you, for the times when we turn from your way to follow our own path. We are sorry for the times that we misunderstand or disregard your will for us. We come humbly before you today and ask for your forgiveness. Help us to accept your free offer of forgiveness and put us back on the right pathway. Lead us to your kingdom here on earth. And help us as we assist you in its creation. Through Christ our Lord, who taught us always to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Our next hymn, My Jesus, I Love Thee. Today, if you hear God's voice, harden not your hearts. Hear the first lesson from the Word of God as it is written in 1 Chronicles chapter 16, verse 1 and 7 to 22 and 34 to 36. They took the covenant box to the tent which David had prepared for it and put it inside. Then they offered sacrifices and fellowship offerings to God. It was then that David first gave Asaph and his fellow Levites the responsibility for singing praises to the Lord. Give thanks to the Lord, proclaim his greatness, tell the nations what he has done. Sing praises to the Lord, tell the wonderful things he has done. Be glad that we belong to him. Let all who worship him rejoice. Go to the Lord for help and worship him continually. You descendants of Jacob, God's servant, descendants of Israel, whom God chose, remember the miracles that God performed and the judgments that he gave. The Lord is our God. His commands are for all the world. Never forget God's covenant, which he made to last forever. The covenant he made with Abraham, the promise he made to Isaac. The Lord made a covenant with Jacob, one that will last forever. I will give you the land of Canaan, he said. It will be your own possession. God's people were few in number, strangers in the land of Canaan. They wandered from country to country, from one kingdom to another. But God let no one oppress them. To protect them, he warned the kings, "Don't harm my chosen servants. Do not touch my prophets." Give thanks to the Lord because he is good, his love is eternal. Say to him, "Save us, O God, our Savior. Gather us together, rescue us from the nations, so that we may be thankful and praise your holy name." Praise the Lord, the God of Israel. Praise him now and forever. Then all the people said, "Amen," and praised the Lord. Our next hymn, Love Divine, All Loves Excelling. Our text for reflection is from Paul's letter to the Colossians, chapter 3, verse 9 to 17. Do not lie to one another, for you have taken off the old self with its habits and have put on the new self. This is the new being which God, its creator, is constantly renewing in his own image in order to bring you to a full knowledge of himself. As a result, there is no longer any distinction between Gentiles and Jews, circumcised and uncircumcised, barbarians, savages, slaves and free, but Christ is all, Christ is in all. You are the people of God. He loved you and chose you for his own. So then you must clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness and patience. Be tolerant with one another and forgive one another whenever any of you has a complaint against someone else. You must forgive one another just as the Lord has forgiven you. And to all these qualities add love, which binds all things together in perfect unity. The peace that Christ gives is to guide you in the decisions you make, for it is to this peace that God has called you together in the one body. And be thankful. Christ's message, in all its richness, must live in your hearts. Teach and instruct each other with all wisdom. Sing psalms, hymns, and sacred songs. Sing to God with thanksgiving in your hearts. Everything you do or say then should be done in the name of the Lord Jesus, as you give thanks through him to God the Father. Let us pray. O God, our Father, you alone are light. We pray you send out now the spirit of light and understanding that we may receive with our minds those blessed things which you have made known to us by Jesus Christ, that we, in hearing your word with reverence and obedience, may bring the good fruits of a holy life. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, we pray. Amen. Think with me together on the theme, put on the new nature of Christ. We human beings generally find it difficult to let go of the past and to embrace the new. We find it even harder to deal with the various contrasts in our lives, the contrast between good and evil, between our weaknesses and strengths, between the old self and the new self, or the old habits that hold us captive and are capable of destroying us on the one hand, and the new possibilities that can liberate us from bondage to sin and renew our lives on the other hand. It is more so when we have come to Christ, because often there are things we had become so used to that we find difficult to let go, even if they hinder our walk with Christ and delay the process of sanctification. But if we really want to enjoy the new life that we gain in Christ, we need to let go of the past, sinful earthly nature, and take hold of the advantages of our new relationship with Christ. That is why Paul says in 1 Corinthians, if anyone is in Christ, he or she is a new creation. The old is gone, the new has come. And one of the reasons we need to get rid of the old sinful self is because its practices are like plagues in our lives. Plagues that can rage against us and destroy us in much the same way as the COVID-19 pandemic that is claiming many lives in our own day. That is why we are all following the hygienic and other measures that are issued by the government and medical practitioners to avoid getting infected by the virus. In 1665, the Great Plague, as it was called, raged with indiscriminate fury through the city of London. Those who could afford to flee fled. Those who couldn't remained and lived in terror. Those who fled to the country were met by armed villagers who were determined to keep the plague out of their communities. Because people did not know what caused the plague, the most elementary hygienic precautions were ignored. For instance, people in the city continued to send parcels of used clothing, often the property of the dead, to poorer relatives and relief agencies elsewhere. Even clothes stripped off the bodies of plague victims were dispatched. Imagine a family receiving such a parcel and proudly and gratefully putting on clothes much better in quality and style to their usual everyday wear. And then they discover that these attractive new garments had come from one of the plague houses. I am sure they would strip them off with so much horror and consign them to the fire, because this beautiful looking stuff would surely qualify for poisoned meat. It is with the same horror that we should strip off the old man and its deeds, because it has the plague. And a reason Paul urges upon the Colossian believers to put off that old self depends on his basic assumption concerning the nature of the church. He sees the church as the new creation, a renewed society requiring a fresh way of living. In this new dispensation, there cannot be the same divisions. The world knows, since Christ is all and in all. In this, we have become what the Israelites became when God chose them, God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, in order to complete the picture of this new society where a standard of mutual love is demanded as befits God's people here on earth. Now, friend, Paul's analogy in verse 9 and 10 is taking off and putting on clothing. In Christ, we have changed clothes. We are no longer wearing the clothes of our earthly natures. Sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desires and greed, but clothes of compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness and patience. But the change is not just external, but internal, in our spirit and in our character. It is not even instantaneous. We are being renewed, that is literally made new again and again and again. This is the process of sanctification. And we see several other uses of the word in Paul's letters. For example, last Sunday we learned from 2 Corinthians 4:16b, that though outwardly we are wasting away, yet inwardly we are being renewed day by day by day. But again, this transformation and renewal, putting on the new clothes of Christ, does not take place without our own contribution. We are to cooperate in the process of renewal rather than thwart it by our obstinate rebelliousness. But ultimately, it is God's work in us, the fruit of the Holy Spirit of God. And the goal is far beyond us, but it is to restore God's image in us that has been marred and fallen through sin. The renewal involves our mind as we take hold of and internalize God's truths. Having understood that basic or elementary idea of taking off our old nature and putting on our new nature in Christ, the question we need to ask and try to answer is, what are the things we need to do to enable the process of renewal in our hearts and in our lives and in our community of faith? The first is to be one in Christ. That is, to be united. And the kind of Christian unity is the result of genuine spiritual revolution in our own individual lives, where the old nature with all its prejudices and hatreds is put off, and the new nature is put on. Here there is no Greek or Jew, no circumcised or uncircumcised, no barbarian or Scythian, no slave or free, no Cameroonian or English or Scottish, no Filipino or German, but all of us are one in Christ. And in this new creation of united individuals, one in Christ, our language must be one of truth. We cannot be united like that and then lie to one another in view of all that God has done for us. Now, I think Paul's particular reference to lies telling among the brethren is related to those things in verse 5, which he says belong to the earthly nature, that is, sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desires, and greed. Since Christian people must put to death because they are often characterized by deceit, and they destroy not only individual integrity, but the very possibility of social harmony. Then we are to clothe ourselves with virtue. No longer divided by race, religion, geographical origin, social status, or gender, the church needs to be a special place where God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe themselves with the character of Christ. We are to take off our old clothes of division and lies-telling and put on the new clothes of compassion and kindness, Christian virtues that bring honor to Jesus Christ. And then we are to forgive each other, bear with one another, and forgive whatever grievances you may have against one another. Forgive as the Lord has forgiven you. And then to all those virtues and graces, Paul adds what he calls the perfect bond of love. Love is the binding power which holds the Christian body together. Without love, the unity of the body of Christ is likely to fall apart. Love is the bond which will hold people together in unbreakable fellowship. And then Paul uses a vivid picture. Let the peace of God help us to settle any matter of dispute. If the peace of Jesus Christ is the umpire in any man or woman's heart, then when feelings clash, and when we are pulled in two different directions at the same time, the decision of Christ will keep us in the way of love, and the church will remain the body it is meant to be. That is to say, the way to right action is to appoint Jesus Christ as the arbiter or ultimate authority between the conflicting emotions in our hearts, and if we accept his decisions, we cannot go wrong. This principle is made clearer in verse 17 of our text, where Paul says, "Whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him." This is the great principle for living. So how does it work? Think, for example, of some action we really want to carry out. To test whether it is a good or a bad action, one would need to ask, can we do it calling upon the name of Jesus? Can we do it asking for his help? For example, can we be lustful in the name of Jesus? Can we commit sexual immorality in the name of Jesus? Can we be greedy in the name of Christ? Can we be unkind in the name of Jesus? If we can't, because those are exactly those horrid things we are called to put to death, because they belong to our earthly nature, they are plagues, then we must not do them, because plagues are dangerous and even deadly to individuals and communities. What about words? The best test of any word we wish to utter would be to ask whether we can speak it in the name of Jesus Christ. For example, can we tell lies, remembering that he will hear? If we can't, then we should not do it at all. Dear friends, there are at least four simple things to learn from the text in relation to our new nature. We are to be one in Christ, that is, united and not telling lies to one another. We are to clothe ourselves with virtue, compassion, kindness, and the like. And we are to forgive one another, love one another, and promote peace and not hate. That is the kind of church Paul sees as the new creation, a renewed society requiring a fresh way of living, because the old is gone and the new has come. Dear friend, Christian people can indeed be one, but only in Christ. The Christian congregation should be a realm of peace, just because every Christian is totally committed to the rule of peace. When Christ rules in the heart, his peace will rule in the fellowship. As we re-examine our lives and come to Christ anew again, let us long for that continuous renewal, that putting off of the old earthly nature, and the putting on of the new nature of Christ with all those virtues. Let the word of Christ dwell in us richly as we admonish one another with all wisdom. And as we sing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs with gratitude in our hearts to God, and whatever you do, let us do so in the name of the Lord. Amen. Lord our God, we thank you because you have spoken to us through the message of your holy word. Thank you for the new life we have in Christ Jesus. Thank you that we can live in the light with peace and love and harmony. Thank you for the joy we have in this new life and the integrity to which you call us in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Our next hymn is "The Church's One Foundation is Jesus Christ, Our Lord." Let us pray. We give you thanks, O Lord, that we are permitted to offer to you our gifts. We know that you do not seek our gifts first, but you desire that we should give ourselves to you wholly. We offer ourselves to you anew today by your grace. Help us to fulfill our promise and accept our gifts as signs of our surrender. Glory to you, O Lord, you have triumphed over the powers of darkness and brought us to share in the inheritance of your saints in the light. Raise us up to newness of life, that we may live to serve you, risen Lord, who with the Father and the life-giving Spirit are one God, world without end. Father, we give you thanks for the church, for its teaching and fellowship, for the breaking of the bread together and for prayer. We pray that we may always come before you with reverence and awe. We give you thanks for faithful stewardship for all who care and share. May your church use its possessions aright to the relief of the needy and to your praise and glory. Give us glad and generous hearts. Let us seek out and rescue the lost and the straying. Protect the young and uplift any who have fallen. We pray for all who walk in darkness and in the valley of the shadow of death. We remember all who are caught up in strife and warfare, all areas of great poverty, all areas of decadence and evil, all places where we have spoiled the environment. We pray that we may find ways that lead to joy and life in all its fullness. Lord our God, as you have opened for us the gate of everlasting life, help us to live life to the full. May we help others to extend their lives and their vision. Bless our homes and our loved ones with the fullness of life. Make us useful members of the communities to which we belong. We remember before you all whose lives are restricted. We pray for the handicapped, the deaf, the dumb, and the blind, for all whose lives are impaired through the cruelty or neglect of others. We pray for all who are in sickness. We pray that we may help where we can. Lord God, our Father, you open the gate of glory that we may see the joy before us. We give thanks for all who have triumphed over their limitations and now have life in all its fullness. Keep them safe by your side. And we ask all this, trusting in God Almighty, the one who raises the dead, to save us from mortal danger, as we put our hope in you, now and forevermore. Amen. Our final hymn, Now Thank We All Our God. Go in peace and serve the Lord. The Lord bless you and watch over you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord look kindly on you and give you peace.